You're invited to join me in the real deal. Well, you'll learn how to own that remodeling job and get paid what you're worth. This is my signature two-day training for serious interior designers who want to bring consistently high-profit remodeling jobs into their business. For complete information and tickets, go to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com. See you there. I'm Terry Taylor, and this is the Interior Design Business Academy podcast. As an interior designer, you may be thinking, I love what I do, but I am so overworked and underpaid. Let me tell you, I've been there too. I spent many years learning from my own mistakes and developing proven strategies and systems to make interior design a profitable career while keeping it fun and creative. So now, I'm here to help you get paid what you're worth. If you're ready for some straight talk about how design business really works, and you're ready to break through old belief systems that are holding you back and shift into beliefs that support your goals and bring lasting success, you are in the right place. Hi. Today, I want to talk about what to say to clients who ask you to share your resources. That one, right? Like, where'd you get those bar stools that you put in my kitchen? My friend wants to buy those. What? Or, you know, what's the number of their painter? I need to get Mary's bedroom painted. You know, what do you do with that? Or here's one that's even bigger, even better. And this is why I'm talking about this today. Yesterday, somebody told me that a client called and demanded to have the CAD file for their job. What? This is ridiculous. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about how to get this settled down. Now, as you can hear from my first reaction to it is indignation and insult and how dare you ask me that. It's like, wow, where did that come from? You know, if you would go to Nordstrom and pick out a $400 dress and go up to the counter and say, hey, where did you get this? I want to buy this wholesale. I'm not going to pay $400 for it. I want to pay $100 for it. They would never do that. Why are they doing that for us? Okay, there's a whole big story around that, right? But what I want to point out is it's probably more story than reality, because if you take a deep breath, okay, take a deep breath at a pause, and response would be, they're likely not trying to steal from us. They just don't understand how we work, and they really don't know how to ask for what they need, okay? And so we need to take ownership of that part about them not understanding how we work, okay? Because we don't explain things well. We expect people know what it is that we do and how it works and that sort of thing, and then get ruffled when it doesn't happen. But it's really, we need to take ownership of that size and say, well, we haven't really explained all of this, so we need to respond in a much different way, okay? Now, here at IDBA, we always work on this emotional mindset side of a challenge before we do the technical business side. And the reason for that is when we get the emotion out of it and the mindset clear about what's really going on, you know, there really isn't a place for anger or upset or feeling victimized or any of that stuff with this. However, that's our first reaction. You know, you got to own that. But the reality is they don't quite know how to ask for what they're asking for, and we don't have clear boundaries that have been explained in the first place. So it's not a surprise that we get into these situations. So let's take this apart and figure this out, okay? Because it's actually pretty simple if you know what to do with this, and that you can realize that your first reaction is probably not the way to go. It's to take a breath and think about this and respond in a very clear way. Okay? So let's go back to, where'd you get the bar stools? My friend wants to buy them. Okay? Well, the answer is obviously your studio. Okay? Now, they may not be trying to get to the wholesale person, and the wholesale person that you bought it from wouldn't sell them to them anyway. So, you know, that's a story that we need to just kind of let go of and, you know, deal with what's really there. You know, the answer to that is very clearly, I would say, well, they came from Taylor Design Studio. My studio can buy them for you. Just have her give me a call and we'll take care of her. Just like that, with a smile on your face. Okay. Not, you know, let me say that again, with a smile. You can say anything with a smile, right? And what you're doing there is letting them know that the bar stools came from my business. Okay. Now, if you think about it, they may not understand that you could just do that because they hired you to design and did a whole design plan before they bought anything. And they don't know that their friend could just buy the bar stools from you and not jump into a big new kitchen and family room design, right? Okay, so that could be what's behind that. You just need to give them the clear answer that they can give to their friend of how to get the bar stools, okay? And it's perfectly fine for you to do a retail sale without design service in front of it. If you want those bar stools and you want four of them, you can quote the price. And besides, you've got all the information. You just sold them. You know what the freight was and the receiving and the delivery and all of those pieces, right? So it's more of a request for information for a job for you than trying to go behind you. Okay. And if they are trying to go behind you, that answer of this is how you do it. Call my studio, call the office. We'll take care of you. You know, when you've got that piece going, you just solved it and didn't address anything ugly or bumpy or anything like that. You know, you just very clearly said, this is what it is, with a smile. Okay. Now let's talk about what's the number of your pager. Okay. Now, this is a different situation. You have to kind of think about this coming from the other direction. They may have worked with the painter already. Obviously, he did because they know you've got the painter and they like the painter. They may have paid the painter directly, okay? In which case, they already would have the phone number. So there's all of that piece going on. So, you know, what you want to do is make sure that you get into this from the other direction, that you cover this particular piece with your contractor or your subcontractors right in the beginning when you first add them into your team, okay? There needs to be an agreement about how this sort of thing will work because, you know, it will happen. It absolutely would happen. So when you're adding somebody to your team, be a contractor, subcontractor, that sort of thing, however you're going to do it, you always want to have their tax ID numbers, right? Because you may have to 1099 them. You may not. I don't know. It depends on your situation. But you would always want to have proof of insurance as well. And the third thing that you could be asking for and having a discussion and agreement of is how you're going to handle those situations when the client calls them instead of you, but it's your client. Okay. So you're going to need to establish the fact that it's your client and that you need to be in charge of that part. Okay. And you need to do this long before it happens. It's not something that you do after it happens because then you're just putting out the fire, right? When you do this beforehand with your contractors and subcontractors, you can set up how to handle these things. Now, there's three ways that I see that you could do this. You can give him permission to take care of clients and not tell you, just go off on his own, say, yeah, that's fine, no problem. But you don't have to do that. I wouldn't do it. I would like to know what's going on in that house so I don't have to fix it or have somebody whining at me because something didn't work right because they tried to do it themselves with the painter and made a mess. So, you know, number two would be you would ask him to make sure that he contacts you before he does anything with a client. He needs to tell them that he has to get permission from you to be able to do that and connect that way. That way, you would know if there's design stuff in there that needs to be done and that you could reach out to the client and say, hey, you want me to do this part? Because, you know, Joe the painter doesn't know how to spec the paint color, right? And they may not get that, right? You got to cover all the bases there. That would be one way of staying in control of the job and not having those things just run away from you. The third way to do it is you could actually act as his essentially, quote, outside salesperson, and that jobs that come to him through your clients and connections, he needs to include a 10% commission for you in the pricing to come back to you because it's your client, right? And he wouldn't have that business if you weren't there. Okay. So these are things that need to be discussed with your contractors before you start. And quite frankly, it's a decision you need to make about how you're going to handle those situations, not one at a time and have everybody different, but this is my policy about working with my clients, okay? And when you have that in your little subcontractor agreement that you do with your subs, then that's already laid out and you have something to stand on, you know? So, you know, the thing is you don't want them going behind your back, okay? That's not cool. All right. So we want to have everything out in the open. You can give them permission to go do it on their own. You know, if they want to repaint the house the same color it is, you know, you may not want to have anything to do with that and go, yeah, go do that. Go take care of that. Okay. However, if it involves interiors or choices or how things are going to come out, you may want to be heavily involved in that because that's an important piece as well. You got to do this ahead of time, right? And make sure that your team of subcontractors are all on the same page. They all have the same rules and they all know what the rules are, right? Okay. The number three one is last but not least is the CAD file. They're like, oh man, you know, that one got me ruffled. And okay. All right. Well, perhaps they don't know what they're asking for. Okay. The obvious answer is a clear no. You're not going to give them the CAD file. Don't do it. They can't open it anyway. It's like, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. And the reality is the client is buying your intellectual property. In other words, your ideas and designs that you put into that CAD to be used on a specific project. Okay. That's what you sold them. You did not sell them the CAD file. Okay. So, and that is a clear piece of intellectual property that you need to stand on. That's really important for us as designers. It becomes really, really important if you're doing something like a restaurant design that it's going to get repeated in other places. Well, you know, they're paying for that original design, but the intellectual property of it belongs to you. And if we're going to do more of them, then you will be paid to apply that design to other spaces. Okay. So you can see how that works and how important that is to have that and to stand on that. Okay. Now that is a whole different situation from giving them a set of drawings that they can keep to know what it is that you did to the property so that, you know, 10 years from now, if they sell the property or they're doing something else, they have a clear record of what happened. Okay. And that's more like a set of drawings or, you know, or, and it could be digital. You just have to put them in a format that they could actually open and see, but that's a different ask. And it's likely that the client asking for the CAD file, that's actually what they were trying to get. They just didn't know how to say it. Okay. And a lot of these situations are clients not knowing exactly how to ask for what they want and then us interpreting it as running over our boundaries. Okay. So we want to really watch out for that and own that piece of it and always investigate a little deeper. And if we get that instant knee-jerk reaction of being insulted or victimized or that sort of thing and going, oh, okay, stop that. Take that out of there. That's not true. Let's find out what's really going on and solve the problem. Okay. So getting these things right in the first place, getting these right boundaries in place and being able to put them into your design agreement, your letter of agreement with your client is a key piece of what Interior Design Business Academy does for our students. And so that they have a good framework to work from and understand how those things work and understand how to respond to these things that clients do that are really often requests for more business, a request to do something, but it's just not phrased in a way that we're getting it. Okay. And when you've got those clauses already blocked out in your letter of agreement and you understand what they mean. Okay. And then you could easily defend them. It makes it pretty easy to stand on your boundaries and not get in that situation where you're feeling like you're beat up by the client. You're actually able to take these requests and turn them into more business, which in most cases is really what's there. Okay. So until next time, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Interior Design Business Podcast. If you love what you're hearing each week, let me know by leaving a rating and a review. And don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss out on clear, proven, repeatable, step-by-step recipes for attracting ideal luxury clients I share in each episode. As always, you can head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com to check out the links and resources from this episode. Till next week, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth.